This is PodTech.net. I'm Catherine Giraudot at Java One in San Francisco. A highlight of the Motorola session was the winner of the Motorola-sponsored Code Moto contest walking away with a suitcase of mobile phones. Rob Shattuck and Christy Wyatt of Motorola's mobile devices business gave an upbeat presentation. The session was designed to spark Java developers' interest in creating applications for Motorola mobile devices. It presented some ways the mobile industry can enable developers to innovate.
Thanks, Peter. Good afternoon. I'm only going to take a minute of your time, and then I'll come back up a little bit later. This is my 11th Java 1. I was at the very first Java 1 11 years ago. I was one of the first five Java technology evangelists working for Sun Microsystems. And my job at the time was to try to enable real-world deployments. And I worked with companies like Motorola and Northern Telecom to build the first Java-enabled devices. The first Java-enabled phone that I saw was almost the size of that briefcase over there, not the five that are inside of it. And it had the full Java. And we were impassioned at that point in time about what Java could do to the mobile industry and the kinds of experiences and applications that it could empower and all of the different things that developers could do for the first time. And now we fast forward 11 years later and we get to see the reality of that vision. We have millions of developers. We have hundreds of millions of Java-enabled devices out in the market today. There'll be 900 mobile devices sold by Motorola alone this year. And that's a huge market opportunity for developers. We see networks getting faster. We see the convergence of technologies with wireless and other kinds of technology in the home, in the car, so on and so forth. And these are all trends we wanted to talk to you about today and the kinds of opportunities that those unleash for you, the Java developer community. As one of the leaders in the Java community over the last 11 years, we're here to make sure that you're successful and see the next wave of innovation for Java in the mobile space, which is what we believe is the next big thing. So here to talk about those technology trends is our Chief Technology Officer and Chief Pontificator, Rob Shattuck.
Right, well, I guess I'm here to pontificate for a few minutes. Let's see what pre-planned pontification we have. Mobile industry is huge. There's 2 billion cell phone subscribers out there now. This year, the industry will ship about 900 million devices, plus or minus 50 million. We're wrong every year about the forecast, but it's going to be something like that. The interesting thing, of course, about that is this makes it the largest consumer electronics business on the planet, bar none. And that's why everyone is so interested in mobile devices these days. What's also interesting about that 900 million number, if there's only 2 billion subscribers, is clearly we're churning through the portfolio of products at a very rapid rate. The average lifetime of a cell phone is something just under 12 months now. What that means, of course, to you developers is that new technology is coming to this market very quickly. We're enabling all the time new technology, and that's really what I'm going to talk about, some of the technologies that are coming to the cell phone market and what that means to you as developers. Whilst this has been going on and the cell phone has been evolving, it has been quietly consuming other applications that we've taken for granted. In fact, we believe that the cell phone, the mobile device, is going to become the center of your digital life. I know there are other kind of, you know, small companies that believe a different vision, but we truly believe that the cell phone is going to be that thing that manages and controls your digital content. It's that take everywhere mobile device that allows you to have your content with you wherever you go. Interestingly enough, the cell phone has accumulated a lot of other applications on the way. A couple of years ago, when we were doing some market research work, we found that the biggest application that everyone wanted on the cell phone was the alarm clock. It's good to know that hundreds of millions of dollars of investment have finally replaced the alarm clock, but we achieved it. We've replaced the public phones. They keep disappearing everywhere. The largest digital camera manufacturers in the planet, they're Motorola and Nokia. We are slowly consuming, and at an ever greater rate, a lot of these functions. They are getting subsumed into the device. This is what makes mobile phones such an interesting technology marketplace and what makes it so interesting to the development community. So the trends that are on top of us now, convergence. I'll talk a lot about this. This is the convergence of the wireline and the wired world. And finally, I think we really are going to bring the internet to mobile devices. IP, of course, is the common thread that's doing that. And what this enables is a software environment, and what we hope to enable as well is a business environment that's closer to the wired internet and further away from the island that the cell phone industry or the wireless community has been. It's hard to call it an island with 2 billion subscribers. It's more like a continent, I guess. And then as you view that continent and you get closer and closer to it, you find that actually it's a lot of collection of tiny states, a bit like Europe, all very different, none of them able to talk to each other. Sadly, that is the kind of environment that we've created in the applications world. And we're going to talk a bit more, and Christy will come up later to talk about more of what we're doing to try and transform and truly create a seamless universe for software development. So we tend to think about three big technology themes here. Fixed mobile convergence, anytime, anywhere, always on connections. We're kind of used to that. People have been talking about it for a long time. And as I'll show you, in the next 12 months, that's finally becoming a reality. As that reality happens, intelligence is moving to the edge of the network. The content is getting smarter. We're just beginning to deploy the kind of technologies that allow us to seamlessly roam between Wi-Fi networks and traditional cellular networks and between different types of network and move your content around those networks. That's critical because remember, most of these applications and the things that are going to drive the killer apps is the content. And of course, the common underlying technology thread there is IP, the Internet Protocol. So we think of our research investments in sort of five broad categories. I'm just going to quickly scan through those. One of the big ones for us is just fueling the next generation products. What we know and what we demonstrate in our sales is that style is the big seller. We invest a lot of our technology in just style in the devices, making them thinner. But as we make them thinner and more stylish, we're also incorporating a lot more technology. We're incorporating bigger, brighter displays. This improves the user experience for visual material. If you take out cell phones today, you'll find that they're more readable in sunlight than they were 2 or 3 years ago. In a year's time, you won't even notice the difference between a dark room and a bright room. It'll be readable in all kinds of ambient light. The acoustics are continuing to improve. We want to create not only a better acoustic experience on a call, we want to create a better acoustic experience for entertainment, because entertainment devices and the cell phone are converging. In fact, the rate at which we're introducing stuff into the cell phone is increasing kind of exponentially. A couple of years back, we started to introduce cameras. Cameras have gone from sort of a VGA resolution to now in the 3 to 5 megapixel range. We're seeing autofocus, zoom, and other technologies coming that will start to ship in reasonable numbers over the next couple of years. The sheer amount of horsepower in the phone has gone up considerably. When we launched the Razr, which was only a couple of years ago, we had a 50 megahertz ARM7 processor in there. Not exactly the world's toughest opposition. But there it was. It was sufficient to provide us produced common cell phone functionality. Didn't leave a lot for creating rich experiences, new applications. We were still kind of in the world of Java games and not much else. Now, as we launch the Rocker E2, a product I'll talk about in a few moments, we have a 250 megahertz X-scale processor in there. We have up to 4 gigabytes of memory that can be plugged into these devices. So all the technologies that you associate with other devices, with other portable consumer devices, are now coming into the cell phone. That's what makes it an exciting place for applications developers. And one of the key big things happening is that finally we're getting the mobile internet. This, of course, was something launched with great hype many years ago with GPRS and WAP, woeful applications experience or something. I don't know what it was. It was terrible. That would have been WAX, but it was pretty bad. Data rates were slow. It's painful to use. And nothing like the experience of the wired internet, even at the time when the best you could get on the wired internet was sort of 64 kilobit ISDN. But now the technology has advanced considerably. And the deployment of UMTS has started to provide broadband wireless to a wider community. Operators are beginning to experiment with that. What can you do with it? You can download music, you can stream video clips, you can stream news services. They haven't yet, though, gone as far as we would like them to go. You don't yet have a seamless, easy connection to the internet. You still have a connection to a network. You're still connected to one of those little city-states, one of those islands. Where it needs to get to and where it's going over the next 2 years is to really provide this pervasive, always-on connection to the internet through a set of new technologies. Behind that comes IP. So again, that world of having a voice network and a switch circuit network and then a separate data network is finally disappearing. Everything converges around IP. That means applications can handle all types of content in the same way. We're even taking these IP networks right down to the peripheral devices so that when you want to move content between the TV and your cell phone, you're really just moving content between two IP addresses across a Bluetooth network. That ain't too hard. The theme here is that we're trying to make the underlying technology easier and simpler to develop around. So the standards that are enabling this wired internet, some of them you're very familiar with, the 2.5G standards of the cellular world and Wi-Fi. These things are on a convergent course, and that's one of the things, that convergence of technology, that's going to drive this convergence to an internet-type paradigm in the wireless world. They're starting to deploy. In fact, the high-speed packet data access networks that are being built on top of the UMTS networks start to deploy at the end of this year, 2006. And because, you know, we do technology, we had to have a graph, so we had a graph of data rates in here. And what this really shows is that HSDPA, the enhanced data rates for UMTS, are coming down to be similar speeds to DSL links and cable links. User throughput is probably going to be somewhere around about 75% of typical current cable and DSL speeds. So now it does become feasible to have these always-on connections. You can write apps that just connect back to the internet without having to think about it. They get their data backwards and forwards in an acceptable amount of time to the user. No long delays, no long latencies. And so with this technology, we can now begin to make this seamless world. We can begin to start thinking about our content as not residing in any particular device in any particular place. We can make a world to which your content can be available to you anytime, anywhere, and almost anyhow. The anyhow bit is because we're making these multi-mode phones. Us and some of our competitors are now beginning to ship phones that are cellular and Wi-Fi built into one. The cost of doing that continues to decline. It continues to decline at such a rate that through 2007, you'll see people launching phones in the mass market segment that are Wi-Fi and cellular in one device. So this is a huge change in connectivity. And it's certainly true that a lot of the connected apps are going to be at first in what we call a nomadic environment. You won't be using these when you're driving 100 miles an hour down 101. You'll be using these when you are in a nomadic situation, moving from one location where you use that application, you're in another location, you use the app. So this is perfect for the environment that is now starting to appear, particularly with municipal Wi-Fi networks appearing. So all the technology is beginning to come together within the device. In fact, where we're taking this to is, again, the cell phone becoming the center of your digital home. The cell phone can do any of these functions through local wireless networks, whether it be Bluetooth or whether it be Wi-Fi. Who cares? It's an IP network. And as we work on DRM exchange, DRM interchange, and DRM interworking, then you can move your content easily between these devices. This opens up a whole great new pile of apps. Some of them are the simple ones that we can envisage. Things like, I've got photos on my phone. At the moment, we make that pretty hard, I have to admit, to get those photos off the phone and do something with them. In this environment, we're going to make it increasingly easy. You'll just walk up close to the TV, and you'll be prompted, do you want to display these photos on your TV? The mobile phone is actually your identity. It's always connected to a particular individual. So now you have identity as well with the device. So what does that mean for how you might choose to manage delivered content? As you move in front of the TV with your cell phone, the TV knows it's you. They know what type of content you like. That may not be available early in the mornings. You may have to wait till later. But it does know who it is. So again, you can see that having this device there with this connectivity begins to open up new application possibilities around the home. And as I mentioned before, this convergence of technologies, convergence of devices, is really going to come home in the entertainment space. And you know, some of the obvious thing is the MP3 player meets the cell phone. And I'll come on to that on the next slide before anyone asks me about iTunes. But there's a couple of other things that are happening in the entertainment space that I think make it very interesting to the development community. The first is mobile TV. It's, at first sight, I think, hard to imagine that people are going to spend a lot of time watching TV on the cell phone. It's pretty unlikely, you think. In the user trials that have been done over the past year, what they have found is that on average, even after the initial excitement has worn off, people spend about 30 minutes a day watching content on the phone. Now, the different thing about a phone, of course, is it has an interactive channel to it. You can send information back the other way. This opens up a whole new set of commercial possibilities, not only for purchasing, but directed advertising. I don't know what they are. That's some of the things that we want the developer ecosystem to start thinking about. And peer-to-peer technology is coming. With these local wireless connections built into the device, now we can do a lot more than just talk across a cellular network. We can talk off the cellular network. That's very common. In fact, we ship phones today that have two-way radio functionality in them as well to talk off network. But now, increasingly, that's going to be more IP-based off-network chat. And then, go one step further, think of all that processing power, the 3D graphics engines that we're putting into these multimedia devices, and you have a new world of peer-to-peer gaming opening up on these devices. Plus, with their wireless connectivity, you get discovery. So you can discover people around you who have similar capabilities on their machines. It is an introduction mechanism. There are great opportunities here for applications built around the idea of wireless discovery of who's around you, and then their identity and what they want to do.